Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of your owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Catherine Albrecht, and we're going to be talking about the Verit ship. Hi, Catherine. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be back on your program.
And we've interviewed Catherine many times in the past as we've talked about some of the chips that they want to put on the clothing and just about all products so they can track them. And she's coming out with a book, and it's going to be out here in, I guess a month or two, and we'll be having her back again. But today, she was kind enough to come on very, very short notice, and we're going to talk about the Verit ship and why that is important. So you pick up the story there.
The Verit ship, for people who aren't familiar with it, is the implantable microchip device, and it's marketed by a company called Applied Digital Solutions out of Florida. And they've been trying for the last couple of years, since the late 1990s, to get this technology off the ground and into as many human beings as they can. Many people are probably familiar with this technology as it's used to identify dogs and cats that may, go to the local animal shelter. They may find a dog or cat, and if they have the right equipment, they can scan the animal, find this embedded microchip which transmits a unique number. And then they can look that up in a database and identify who the owner is of that animal. So that technology has been around for a while. It's actually in use now in millions of animals across the United States and even more around the world. But the creators of that technology now want to use the same thing in human beings. So the idea is to literally use an injection device called a cannula. It's quite a substantial looking tool because it's embedding something that is somewhere between the size of a grain of rice and a Tic Tac. And they are implanting it into people's flesh. They put it midway between the elbow and the shoulder in the back part of the biceps area of the arm. And they're touting this as the panacea for not only medical records and instant easy payments at places like bars and nightclubs, and a way to alert people to, or medical professionals to, your allergies or any medical conditions you might have that they need to be aware of.
They really have all sorts of excellent explanations of why we should all take this chip, don't they?
Well, the latest one is really the one that I think sends chills down the spines of most liberty-loving people, and that's the idea that this chip is going to somehow keep us all safer if we can authenticate and identify people through these chips, that somehow that's going to be a boon for fighting terrorism. And, of course, you and I, Dr. Stan, have been following these issues for years and years now, have known that, that the minute September 11th happened, I think we both probably took a deep breath and said, oh dear, here it comes. Is this going to be the justification for a lot of these technologies and a lot of these efforts to more closely track people and to essentially, begin taking away our civil liberties and our rights and our privacy and our freedoms? And, we're getting to that point, and this is a technology, I think, that is poised to be particularly dangerous in that regard.
And I agree with you, and of course, all across America, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, on television, why you'll see these advertisements about the danger of identity theft. Oh, no, the man who talks like the woman who talks like a man, but why are they spending tens of millions, if not $100 million, on a massive educational program when they're not selling anything? Because, of course, the Citibank is no different than any other credit card, and the real thing, in my estimation, is they, of course, want to get people to get a chip.
Well, and, you know, ultimately, it's
now, hold that thought right there. We missed our cue. I got so interested talking to you, I forgot that we had to go to a break here. And now, of course, we have with us, we've lost some of our stations, and other stations have come on board. Our guest today is Kathryn Albrecht. And we're going to be talking about this whole idea of the spy chip, this Verit chip. That's there is an organized effort to try to get this into people. And I was simply commenting that all across America, Citibank is spending literally tens of millions of dollars on advertisements, and you've seen them on television. The man who talks like the woman who talks like the man. And what's the basic underlying theme? Oh, we've got a terrible problem with identity theft. And anybody could steal your identity. In fact, why, MasterCard recently lost 60 million, identities. 60 million identities. And Wells Fargo lost all sorts of identities. And isn't it amazing? It's never happened before, but it's suddenly happening now. And of course, the obvious solution, although they're not stating it, but the obvious solution is, if everybody took a chip, you wouldn't have to worry about somebody stealing your identity, would you? Could it be that our minds are being molded, our ideas being suggested, our tastes being formed through television that is creating an impression on our mind? There's a real problem with identity theft, but there is a solution. We'll just take a chip.
Well, and you know the thing that makes that so very ironic, this idea that a chip would somehow curb identity theft, is that at least in its current form, the chip would actually do no such thing. People who've been following the chip might know some of the developments. Let me back up historically and give people a sense of who's actually taken one of these chips and when and where. We know that last year in 2004, we had the first use of the application for the chip for making payments. And they call it, the chip itself is called the Vera chip, V-E-R-I for verify, and of course chip for chip. And they've got various different cutesy names they've come up with for the chip. They have the Vera Pay device, which is a payment device, which of course kind of gives Christians pause for concern because of the Mark of the Beast prophecy that there would be a number or a mark used to buy and sell. And, of course, that the VeraPay could potentially fit some of the requirements of that. The VeraPay device, you've got the VeraMed device, which is the medical transaction authentication or medical records application for this. And now you've even got people talking about wanting to use these to replace dog tags and put them into the military. So, essentially, we saw back in 2004 an event where the Baja Beach Club in Barcelona, Spain, invited some sort of B-rate celebrities to this nightclub. And the Baja Beach Club...
Hold that thought right now. We want to bring all of our stations back on board. All right, well, there's Dr. Stan. And Kathryn was saying that over in Spain at the Baja Beach Club, why they got a lot of their people there, and I assume she's going to tell us, they got a lot of the people who belong to the beach club to take the chips.
Yeah, and you know, most people when they think of a beach club, they think of kind of an exclusive Club Med type resort, but this is anything but that. This is actually just a loud, raucous, noisy nightclub. There's no special location for it or anything else. It's just a nightclub. There's a chain of them located around the world. And what they did was they sponsored something called the VIP Chipping Night. And they had celebrities who were television celebrities famous for starring in the Gran Hermano television program in Spain, and Gran Hermano, of course, means big brother. So they had these folks who had become famous for starring in a television program where they had cameras in their homes, so already these were people who clearly didn't value their own privacy. And they had them get up on stage, and a gentleman in a white lab coat, there publicly under the, you know, with the pounding music beat and the flashing lights, implanted these people with these devices so that they could cruise past the bouncers, they could go and get access to the VIP champagne lounge, and they could pay for their drinks without having to carry a wallet. And so they injected these devices, these glass-encapsulated RFID tags, midway between the elbow and the shoulder, and the cocktail waitresses at the Baja Beach Club, scantily clad, bikini-wearing young women, could walk over to these patrons, and when they ordered their drinks, they could simply take a handheld scanner wand, run it near the arm of the customer, capture that unique ID number, and then that number would be linked up with a credit card account or a bank account, so it would automatically deduct the fee for the drinks. So that's the first that we actually saw that. We know that from there it spread to Rotterdam in the Netherlands, where there's another Baja Beach Club there. And then it went to a nightclub in Glasgow, Scotland, called Bar Soba. And then most recently, it's reached our shores here in the United States at a nightclub in Miami Beach, Florida, called Amica, A-M-I-K-A. For those of you with internet access, you can look them up. So we've got several nightclubs around the world where young people, typically between the ages of 18 and 25, are essentially going into these establishments where there's, you know, loud music playing, lots of alcohol being served, and they are getting implanted with these chips.
And nothing happens. In fact, it really is sort of convenient if you don't have to pay for your drinks and get billed later. Well, and this is how I'm sure they're going to sell it. Look, we've done this, and nothing has happened. There's
no lightning bolts, you know, fell from the sky. Although there are some fairly serious medical downsides associated with the chip that I somehow doubt this crowd was thinking of when they signed up for their VeriChip VIP access chip.
Well, tell us about the medical problem.
In October of last year, the FDA, in response to a petition by this company that manufactures the chip, the company said, "We'd like you, FDA, to approve this as a medical device, and for purposes of linking people up with medical records." The FDA spent some time, did some research, and gave them an approval, but the approval came with some strings attached. And we dug around and we found those strings in the form of a letter outlining some very serious medical risks associated with taking one of these VeriChip implants. And few people know this. In that letter, the FDA outlined things like electromagnetic hazard, potential burns, failure of the transponder, failure of the chip itself. And perhaps the most disturbing of the risks that they outlined was the fact that this VeriChip may not be compatible with an MRI machine. Now, let me tell your listeners a little bit about why that may be the case, and then you'll see why it may not be such a good idea to get one of these chips in your arm after all. The MRI machine, MRI stands for magnetic resonance imaging, and it uses an extremely powerful magnet coupled with a very powerful electromagnetic field. And the extremely powerful magnet is so powerful, in fact, that the rooms where they house the MRI equipment have to be very carefully stripped of anything that has an iron base that could interfere with this magnet. And in fact, in some cases, in one case, the magnet was so strong when they flipped on the MRI that it pulled an oxygen tank from across a room, literally flew across the room into the MRI machine, and killed the patient who was in there, simply, you know, flew in and crushed him. In another case, a nurse opened the door to the MRI room and had a pair of scissors in her hand. And the magnet was so powerful that the scissors literally flew out of her hand into the machine and cut the patient who was in there. So the magnet, as you can imagine based on those stories, this magnet is unbelievably powerful. And they say people who work in metalwork, who may have tiny shards of metal embedded in their body simply because of the work that they do, they're advised not to go into MRIs because that metal can literally slice through their bodies going out towards the magnet. Well, the VeriChip has an antenna and a tiny microchip, and the antenna is wrapped around a ferrite or iron-based core. So essentially, taking a VeriChip, you're putting into your body a device that, in the presence of the magnetic energy from an MRI machine, could shift position in your body trying to get to that magnet. And in a worst-case scenario, it could even potentially shoot out of you like a reverse bullet to try to get to that magnet. Making matters even worse, the way you disable an RFID tag, and this is not something I recommend you do at home because it's not really safe, but the best way to disable an RFID tag is to overload it with too much energy. Because the way an RFID tag works, it's got its tiny computer chip, it's got an antenna, and then it picks up energy from a reader device and amplifies it through the antenna. So, for example, if I want to read everything in your wallet or your pocket or your shirt label as you walk through a doorway, I can put an RFID antenna in the doorway that emanates a continual set of signals saying, you know, is anything out there? So it emanates this energy, and if a tag is in the vicinity, the RFID antenna, or the antenna on the RFID tag, will pick up that energy, amplify it, send it to the chip as a little burst of power, and then the chip powers up and says, "Here I am. I'm unique chip number 309846, etc."
And now, of course, for our listeners, these are special chips, and they want to put them into clothing. They want to put them into everything, literally, that you would buy at the department store or at the grocery store. So there'd be a record. And actually, down the line, you won't even have to go through a check stand. They will read what you're taking out automatically. And of course, I don't know what they're going to do with your underwear, but certainly, this is really frightening technology, if you can stop and think about it. And there's been a tremendous drive to push RFID in just about everything, isn't there, Catherine?
Yeah, well, you're talking about the commercial applications for it, which are just going at lightning speed. This is something I've been following since 2002 when I first stumbled upon these plans. But the plan is to replace the barcode with these tiny computer chips linked up to these miniature antennas. So as I was describing, any time you got within range of a reader device, whether that reader device was at the check stand, so you could, check out of the store more easily and quickly, or whether that reader device was hidden in a doorway, as I was describing, it means that whenever your chips got within range of one of those reader devices, they would send back their unique ID numbers. And the key to this is that unlike a barcode where, you know, everybody's can of 12-ounce Coke has the same barcode on it, in this case, with the tiny RFID computer chips, every can of Coke would have a unique ID number. And in fact, ultimately, they want to put a unique ID number or a serial number on every physical object manufactured on Earth. So every single thing would have its own unique ID number. And of course, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that when you're paying for those things and you present a credit card or you scan an ATM card or you present a frequent shopper card, that they capture your identity from the document that you present and they can link that up with those unique serial numbers. So down the road, if, say, that can of Coke winds up in a ditch, and the litter police come by, they can pick it up, scan the can of Coke, get the unique number off of it, and then look that up in a database and cross-reference it and say, oh, that's the can of Coke that Catherine Albrecht bought at a Walmart store, 2 months ago, so let's send her a ticket in the mail for littering here by the side of the road.
Well, it's really interesting. Television many times tells us exactly what the elite who are running things behind the scenes plan. And there was perhaps 3 or 4 years ago an ad that ran repeatedly, and it showed this fellow, obviously in a grocery store, and he's wearing this great big heavy overcoat. And he's opening up the coat as he goes up and down the aisles and stuffing the things into his pockets. And he's obviously a shoplifter. He's stealing these things off the shelf. You can just see that. As he starts to leave the store, somebody runs up behind them and says, "Pardon me, sir. Pardon me, sir." And he turns around. He looks very nervous. He's been caught as a shoplifter. And the man holds up a little white piece of paper and says, "Your receipt for the things you've just purchased." And the man smiles and walks out of the store. This is put out by, as I remember, it was run by IBM.
That was an IBM commercial, actually. And IBM has been one of the companies most responsible for the development and, I would say at this point, the propagation of this technology.
But they were really preparing us for the point where everything will be controlled and everything will be monitored. At the time, it seemed pretty preposterous, and yet you had that feeling in your mind, could this be what's down the line? And, of course, it's exactly what they're planning. They just can't tell the American people what they really have in mind.
Well, and, they want you to think, it's actually occurred to me this may be one of the reasons why there are fewer and fewer cashiers, is to direct us to the self-checkout lane so that ultimately, if we're responsible for checking out our own groceries, we will think it's a huge benefit or an advantage to be able to simply waltz through the door and not have to go through that process of one by one individually itemizing and scanning all of our purchases. So I think IBM may have been trying to sort of plant a subtle thought in people's minds of, won't that be convenient, won't that be fabulous, it'll be this great future. So when the time comes and they present that, it won't be a novel concept to people. It'll be when people, from their perspective, they'll think, hopefully people will say, oh, it's about time we have this technology.
And what they do is they know how to manipulate our reality, how to create our anticipations. They know how to direct our thought process, and they use television to do that. When you understand that, you can understand why we see over and over again the man who talks like a woman on television ads for identity theft, the woman who talks like a man on the ads for identity theft. What are they selling? They're selling ideas, ladies and gentlemen. The idea that one day you're going to have to take a chip because then nobody can steal your identity. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Catherine Albrecht right here at Radio Liberty.
very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Albrecht, and I would like to suggest that there are people out there who have been planning for a long period of time to create a totally controlled society in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. There are people who have a different worldview, and they believe that there are certain people who have the right to rule. And there are certain people who have the right to control the rest of our lives because they know what's best for us and what's best for humanity and for the world as a whole, because these people worship a different God, they dream a different dream. And I really fear that they're laying us open for a terrible, terrible tragedy. Coming in the not-too-distant future, as Catherine describes, the long-range plans that are bringing us towards the totally controlled and regulated and regimented society, and we'll be sold this in the name of convenience. Oh, in the name of fighting Osama bin Laden, under one guise or another, why the American people will do this, simply because the time may well come when you will neither buy nor you will sell unless you have the chip. Pick up the story there, Catherine.
Well, we were talking about this notion of putting chips into people and the medical risks associated with that. One of the things I was saying is that these chips can be destroyed by being exposed to too much electromagnetic radiation or too much energy. And the reason for that is that the antenna is designed to amplify whatever energy it gets. So if it gets too much energy, it will direct all of that energy to the chip, and eventually it will overheat. And by eventually, if you put one of these things into the microwave, you don't have to wait too long. Within just 5 or 6 seconds, the item will actually arc, poof, and burst into flames. That's how powerful these antennas are for picking up ambient electromagnetic energy. So if you go into an MRI machine, potentially, because it has such a very powerful electromagnetic energy field in there, you could also find that this device embedded in your arm could actually burn you from the inside out.
Well,
and amplifies that energy.
Has this actually happened? Do we know? I mean, I would think that the people who manufactured this chip would have thought of that. Obviously, they're very, very smart. Have they made any provisions for it?
FDA did think about it, and the FDA were the ones who pointed it out to them in the form of a letter. That outline these very serious medical risks associated with taking the device. We have submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the FDA. We have contacted many people about this, and we have yet to receive what we think is an acceptable answer as to exactly what the company has done about this risk. There's really not anything they can do to change the way the technology works to mitigate the risk. What they can do, though, according to the FDA, is they can put a warning label on the chip and warn people who are implanted with the device that they cannot go into an MRI machine. We do know, based on the work of at least one researcher, that when you put one of these chips into an MRI machine, at the very least it ceases to function. So you could also find yourself with a chip in your arm that simply doesn't work. And if you're relying on that in a medical emergency, and you know you're passed out or you're unconscious and you don't have any other way to communicate, and you've taken off your Medic Alert bracelet or you've removed the medical card from your wallet because you were relying on this chip in your arm, you need to understand and realize that that chip may actually fail. And that's also one of the other risks that was outlined, is if it gets around the wrong kind of energy, it could literally just blow out the chip and it wouldn't work any longer.
All right. Well, now, what about the implications as far as privacy is concerned? I mean, the founding father of this country feared government. It seems that fear has been lost among the American people. And whatever the government wants to do in the name of course, securing our security, it might be, or preserving our freedom, why we're simply willing to give up all of our individual liberty in the name of security.
Well, and I think that the media has played a big role in that, in sort of fomenting the degree of fear and uncertainty and insecurity that people feel in daily life by repeating over and over images of frightening people who are out to get us in a variety of different ways, and really emphasizing that far out of proportion to the reality. And let me give you a very good example of that. There's a piece of news you need to know in order to put this into context, and that is the fact that this Verichip company, which has been trying to sell its product for about 5 years and so far has only managed to have very limited inroads, they recently signed on a new member of their board of directors, and that is Tommy Thompson, who some of you may remember as the former Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Bush administration. So you have a very high-ranking Bush administration official who leaves public service and immediately takes up, or you know, within a few months of his leaving public service, takes up a role as a member of the board of directors for the Verichip company and Applied Digital Solutions, its parent company. And he and I recently went head-to-head on a program called CBS Market Watch in different videotape segments. And while I talked about, you know, the serious downsides to this, he talked about the fact that that they really think this is a very good idea to migrate us to these...
Hold that thought right there.
you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Albrecht. Catherine, do you have a website that people could go to?
Absolutely. They can check out all of our information on RFID at www.spychips.com. That's spychips with an S, SPYCHIPS.com.
And Catherine's really gotten a tremendous amount of excellent material together, and we applaud it for doing it and for doing the research that none of the rest of us have. Did you ever get your degree there? I know you were working for a degree at Harvard.
I should actually be getting that this coming spring, so I'm looking forward to wrapping that whole process up. Yes, I'm getting a doctorate in human development and psychology, and my focus is consumer education and consumer psychology around privacy issues.
And, of course, what they're really doing is consumer control, in my estimation. But, of course, under the idea, you know, we want to sell them products, but I really think that we're selling the idea that you can be secure if you have a chip. You won't have to worry about paying. It'll be done automatically. You won't have to worry about, somebody stealing your identity. Everything is going to be taken care of you. You're going to be totally secure. Now, my understanding is that they've been using these chips in cattle for some time, so that it's pretty hard to rustle cattle. Is that true?
Yes, it is. And, in fact, the USDA recently issued guidelines that they want to have tracking of animals from what they call from birth to slaughter, so that they know the location and the whereabouts of all food animals in the United States, everything from, you know, chickens and goats to cows and any livestock that's intended for human consumption. And one of the ways that they look to accomplish this is to put one of these chips into all animals and take a note of when they are loaded onto trucks, when they cross state lines, when they move from various, point A to point B or change hands, so that all of that information would be recorded and made available and accessible to the USDA. So there's definitely a precedent for using this to keep track of large populations as they move across the country in various ways. Of course, in this case, it's cattle populations, but clearly some of that infrastructure could be applied to keeping track of human beings as well.
And, of course, what a wonderful way then to control our borders. You know, if you don't have a chip, why, you're probably an illegal immigrant, because why should any law-abiding citizen be afraid to take the chip that the government wants them to take?
Well, and in fact, the U.S. Border Patrol, or the National Immigration and Naturalization Service, has actually begun issuing RFID-enabled U.S. visit program cards to visitors to our shores. So they actually are required to carry around an RFID beacon, essentially, that can be read from across a room, that can be used to identify them, that they have to carry when they're within national borders. So already we're beginning to see this technology applied to foreign visitors to the country. And, of course, that makes the most sense that they would start this kind of program on people who really don't have much say, foreigners, people who are disenfranchised, criminals, school children who can't vote the perpetrators out of office, who are kind of stuck with whatever they're told to do, and government employees and the military. And that brings me back to this the information I was sharing before the break, that Tommy Thompson, former Secretary of Health and Human Services, is now on the board of this company. And one of the things that he said in the CBS MarketWatch interview, he said a couple of things I found very scandalous. He said, first of all, that they would like to use these chips to keep track of our medical records. And, in fact, just today, I believe President Bush signed into law a big medical database where they would report medical errors. And another study came back and said that it's going to cost a number of billions of dollars to implement this new electronic health record system that they want to put into place. So all of this stuff will be collected in databases. And Tommy Thompson was saying, and he's in a position to know as the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, he was saying what we really want to do is get those unique ID numbers into everyone's arms that would be linked up with their medical records and have all of your medical records be electronic and centralized in these centralized databases.
Gee, doesn't that make you feel safe to know that the government knows every intimate detail about you?
Can you imagine? I mean, and talk about privacy. I think the patient, the contract of confidentiality between a patient and a doctor has really been pierced primarily by HIPAA, which ironically was promoted as this big privacy-enhancing move, but actually what it did was it opened up all of our medical records for government perusal.
And that's really so interesting, Catherine, because, when I went into the doctor, when I went into the oral surgeon, when I went into the dentist, they all required you to sign this paper. And what this paper really did, although, unless you read it very carefully, and most people didn't, you're told to sign it, you sign it, it took away all of your medical privacy. They say one thing, they mean exactly another. It's sort of like the Tax Simplification Act of 1986. The purpose was to make it more complicated. But
wait,
they're going to tell you that.
Absolutely. Right. So here's the Health Privacy Act, and it winds up essentially stripping us of our health privacy. So you have Tommy Thompson talking about these medical records, and Dr. Stan, you made a very good point at the early part of the program when you said Bank of America lost the records of that these records were scammed, or somehow they misplaced records on millions of account holders. So if Bank of America can't even keep track of its own account holders, how is it possible that the United States government, with all of its ineptitude and bureaucratic waste and fraud and budgetary problems and everything else, how is it possible that they would do a better job than these major corporations who have been entrusted with this data and already failed us?
Well, I'm not sure that the failure may have not been manipulated to strike fear in the hearts of people. Because, you see, this has never happened before. It's just recently, within the last 6 months, suddenly, time after time after time, a Visa card, MasterCard, Wells Fargo, you name it, they're all suddenly losing the identities of all of these people. And then, of course, comes these nationwide television programs, the man who talks like the woman who talks like the man, and they're manipulating our minds. When you understand that we are manipulated, we're constantly manipulated, and ideas are programmed into our minds, at that point, you begin to understand that there really is an agenda. And until people understand that these things do not happen by accident, I do not believe that MasterCard or Visa card or Wells Fargo or Bank of America are that inept. And I think we've got a very efficient government. That's what frightens me. With their computers, why they can track everything that you do today. They have dossiers on every person in this country, but they're not telling us that.
Well, let me clarify just one thing about the big data disclosures of all of these data breaches of security. And there was a law that recently went into effect in the state of California that mandated disclosure. And what those of us who work in the privacy industry and look at issues of identity theft, you know, sort of the dirty little secret of that whole industry that we've all known for years is that they routinely have data breaches and hackers and people getting into their information. What has changed, and the reason you're hearing more about it, is that now there's actually a law in at least one state that is mandating that they have to disclose that, and they have to apologize to the people, they have to alert them, they have to tell them that they're potentially at risk for identity theft. So that particular piece may be somewhat less sinister in that, you know, that's been going on forever. It's just we're hearing about it now because there's a law that says they have to tell us. And so what it's really done is it's kind of pried the corner of the lid off of this horrible industry and these terrible industry practices that are trading and trafficking in all of our personal information and doing a very poor job of keeping that information secure. And even if they could keep it secure, you know, I've got to say, are these even people that we want to have access to all of this personal information about us? It doesn't matter how secure it is, they shouldn't have it in the first place. I think they're just as voyeuristic as the bad guys. But getting back to Tommy Thompson, his three announcements, so the first was this medical records ID thing, so that all of your medical records would be recorded and subject to perusal by the federal government, and they would all be linked with a chip in your arm, meaning presumably people like Christians who will not take such a chip because it violates their religious beliefs, they may actually have a difficult time getting access to any medical care whatsoever, or may have a difficult time getting medical insurance. Because if all of your information is linked to a chip in your body and you refuse to take one, then how will you receive the kind of treatment that you need for your medical conditions? The second thing Tommy Thompson said was that they would like to replace, or he envisions replacing the military dog tags with RFID implants. And of course, what better captive population? We all remember a few years back when people preferred to get court-martialed over instead of taking these mandatory anthrax inoculations that later proved to have actually been unsafe. And so, you know, if the government has something they want to visit onto a large population, who better to do that to than the military, where they'll literally be court-martialed and face you know, a trial and penalties if they refuse. So right there, anyone who is a member of our nation's military should be you know, if you're a Christian, putting a prayer, because it looks like that is one of the directions they want to go in. And then the final thing Mr. Thompson said in this interview was he said that he believes that using this Verichip device and other RFID devices in hospitals would help protect babies from abduction. And that brings us right into, Dr. Stan, something that you talk about very often, which is the idea that the threat model is manipulated, that we are shown one set of reality through the media, through television, through manipulation of our thoughts and preying upon our fears. And we, if you ask the average person, how many babies do you think are abducted from hospitals every year? I mean, what would be your answer? Do you know the statistic on this?
I have the slightest idea. You tell me.
I think most people would probably say, you know, it's a couple hundred, maybe. In reality, we went through, my co-author Liz McIntyre and I, who co-authored this book we have coming out in October called Spy Chips, we did some research into this, and we found that the actual numbers of babies abducted from hospitals is incredibly small. It's literally between 0 and 12 a year over the last, I don't know, it's like...
Out of the entire population, 300
out of the entire population, yeah. of 4.5 million babies born every year. Between 0 and 12 are abducted, and of those... of those, 95% are returned to the parents. This is without RFID. This is without any kind of implant. So basically, we're talking about a problem that is so infinitesimally small. And the thousands and thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars it would cost to rig hospitals with these detector devices is just a crazy use of resources when you've got, you know, medical errors and you know, poorly trained doctors and under-equipped staff and all of these other problems that could be fixed so easily if you simply put the right money in the right direction. So So to be pulling this money into this issue is just a real waste.
Unless, of course, there is another agenda.
Well, let me tell you the one piece about the other agenda. There was a big press release that came out just 2 weeks ago, and it said, Verichip technology, Applied Digital Solutions, RFID technology, thwarts an abduction from a hospital. This is in North Carolina. Did you hear about this one?
No, I didn't. You tell us about it.
Well, they had a big press release, and they said, you know, our technology actually stopped a baby abduction. And everybody said, oh, hooray, we need more of this. We need this in more of our hospitals. Well, what they didn't tell you in the press release is guess who was abducting the baby?
Somebody from Verichip.
Wouldn't that be perfect?
No, but go ahead.
I almost wish it was. That'd be an even better story. You know who abducted the baby? Who was trying to leave the hospital with the baby were the baby's own parents, the baby's mother and father. And what had happened, apparently, was that this mother and father had had two children taken from their custody years before by Child Protective Services. And I don't know the story on why or whether they were fit parents or not. What I do know, though, is there was no court order or no requirement that this new baby they had just given birth to was to be in any way kept from their custody. And by practice in this particular hospital, apparently all babies get one of these RFID wristbands, or I guess in this case it's an ankle band, placed on them. So it's not an implant, but it's a little device they strap on like the ones they use on parolees. And when these parents, they got afraid, and they said, you know, from everything I can gather, they said, you know, we've turned our lives around, we really want to love this child, and we're afraid because the state has taken away other children of ours. So let's just leave now. And they left with their own baby. And they were according to everything I can understand from the story, they were arrested and handcuffed and hauled off for attempted abduction. And this was of a baby that was their own baby, that there was no court order out for or anything. If they had custody, it was their baby. But what I found particularly interesting about this is if you think about this from the perspective of being a Christian or being really any group that at some point in the future may become unpopular or persecuted, and, you know, this idea that they would want to keep your baby in a hospital and number and tag and track and implant that baby, and that by simply trying to remove your own baby from the hospital to prevent that kind of intrusion by the state, you could wind up handcuffed and in prison and your baby taken from you. So I thought that was really quite a shocking. And by the way, that went down in the statistic books as one of those 0 to 12 abductions per year.
I see. And of course, the Verichip to rescue that child. Well, you know, this whole thing is really such an incredible scenario. And the things are moving so quickly. And what really frightens me, Catherine, is most people don't really seem to be too upset about it, and they could look at all the advantages to this because they have lost their fear of government control. And yet, this is what happened in Hitler's Germany. This is what happened in Benito Mussolini's Italy. This is what happened in Russia. Everybody looked to the government to protect them.
Well, and I think in a way it has to do with our educational system, because parents, normally that instinctive mistrust of government that Americans have had since our founding and since we had to fight the Revolutionary War to overthrow a tyrannical government, that instinctive mistrust of government has been passed down from generation to generation. And it permeated our sort of the grandparents talking to grandchildren, parents talking to children. And in this day and age, there's very little of that happening. Parents and grandparents are entrusting the education of their children to the school system. And, of course, if it's a public school system run by the government, you know, as we libertarians call them government schools, they're not public schools, they're government schools, you've got government schools, and, of course, why would it be in the interest of a government organization like a school to tell your children to mistrust government? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense even on the face of it. So you've got government schools telling children how fabulous government is and to trust government and to give their money to government and to pay their taxes and to, you know, essentially be good little, you know, government-supporting, government-trusting citizens. And, you know, as you and I both know, being a good citizen means constantly being vigilant of your government. We were told that by our founding fathers, and our whole nation, our whole national character was built on this notion of being vigilant and watching and observing your government to keep it in check, not the other way around.
Eternal vigilance is the cost of liberty, I think was the wording.
And it's extremely well put, and that really is true. And by the way, when people talk about being somehow all the surveillance and being monitored and letting the government search through people's bags on the subway in New York City and letting the government install cameras everywhere and letting the government put chips in our children. The idea that somehow this is going to make us safer, that being better surveilled by government will mean more security. You know what I tell those folks? I say, let's think about in the 20th century, who was the most surveilled, watched, observed people on Earth? It was people living under Stalin's Soviet Union. And Stalin did not keep those people safer. He killed 60 million of them as a result of their allowing such close surveillance and scrutiny of their lives. So it doesn't make you safer. It actually puts you very much more at risk and on a much grander scale than petty street crime.
You're absolutely right. Catherine, thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Catherine Albrecht, and we'll hope to have her around and back real soon when her book is out. Thanks so very much for being with us, and we're looking forward to having Liz on next week sometime.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Stan. It's been a pleasure.
Good night. Bye-bye. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we carry a number of books on a number of subjects. And actually, some of these actually deal with this whole idea that they really are out to identify people and regulate. We carry a book called Big Brother and Little Brother Are Watching You by Terry Cook, goes into this whole idea that there really is a massive program. They have these chips. They put them in animals. They know that they will work. They actually put them in chickens today. They're putting them in cows. They're putting them in dogs and cats. And they're even putting them you know, in other countries and do certain of the executives, people who are afraid of being hijacked, being kidnapped, and so that they can be tracked all the time. It's only a matter of time before they do it here in the United States. Now, you know, if you watch television regularly, you see program after program after program about the terrorists and the terrorist threat here in America. It's been almost 4 years since September 11th of one terrorist attack in the United States. And, of course, our leaders know that there is really no danger because they know where all of the Islamic terrorists are. They have files on all of these people in our country and really the Al-Qaeda leaders throughout the world because it infiltrated their organizations. And those that we didn't infiltrate, the Mossad or the other intelligence agencies had, and at least 10 countries warned us ahead about the 9/11 attack and the attack was coming in the United States, and our government knew that, but they can't admit it. If you want to know the background of this, we actually put together three booklets. It's a series of my newsletters going into the foreknowledge that government had. They're only $3.95 for each book, all three of them for, you know, a little over $10. And we have new books out on the history of money. It's called A History of Money. We have another one out on genocide. And you need to get these pamphlets, and you need to read them, and you need to study them. And all of the documentation for everything we say is there. There were people in government who knew exactly what was going to happen, but we needed something to get America into the war, to get the American people to give up their freedom. And they've created within our minds the impression of this terrible terrorist threat here in America. We see it discussed over and over and over again on television and in the various dramas we watch, and yet not one terrorist attack. They don't need a terrorist attack. They create the impression in our minds. And remember what Edward Bernays wrote 76 years ago. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and the opinions is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true power in our nation. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. It's as true today as it was then. The media is controlled by five mega corporations, if you don't believe it. The book, The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bedjakian, available from Radio Liberty. And then let me suggest my pamphlets. They're actually maybe 40 or 50 pages. Many of them are much larger than that. The History of Money, Genocide, Population Control, and then 9/11 foreknowledge, all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you, of course, will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We have all sorts of books on the what happened. We have Jim Maher's book. I think maybe we'd be temporarily out of that, but we have the book, The War on Freedom, The Terrorist Timeline, September 11th, Prior Knowledge. We have my video, 9/11 Contrived. That's actually quite popular. 9/11 Contrived, my story of what was known ahead of time. And if they knew something was going to happen, why didn't they do anything to stop it? Why didn't they warn the airlines? And why did they disarm? Just 2 weeks before the 2 months before the 9/11 attack, they put out a directive that no pilot could carry a weapon. Why was that? What a terrible thing to contemplate. Well, pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty.